your Bible, if you would, please find the second chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2 will be our text today. I do not believe that I will turn you from this passage. While you are finding that, let me share with you what other great men of God have said about this passage, along with Henry Longfellow. One writer wrote this: to listen to the angel song now is as though the carol singers are at the door. And while they are singing outside the house, a fierce quarrel is going on inside the house. That is the opposite of what Christmas ought to be. That reminds me of people coming to church. I have told you many times that my office is on the west side of this building. I have a big window in my office that looks out over the parking lot. I purposely put a blind in there that enables me to see out and you not to see in. And I stand at that blind before services and I watch people come to church. You will be shocked how people get out of their car and come to church. And sometimes the people that have facial expressions and demeanor when they come, get out of their car, how radically different they are when they're sitting out there. As husbands and wife, you're sitting close, but you didn't walk into this building sitting close like that, I'll tell you that. While the carolers are outside singing the songs of Christmas, inside, fierce quarrel. One writer would say that it lacks the background in reality. It mocks where it used to comfort. It irritates where it used to inspire. To put it simply, it just seems out of place in this world. Pastor, what are you talking about? Luke chapter 2, verse number 13, if you would, please. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," would you finish that today? "Peace." If we were to be honest, and we were to look at our world today, we would have to say there is the absence of peace on the earth. Not just in our city, not just in our county, not just in our community, not just in our state, not just in our nation, but literally the world is at war. The world is trying to, in some manner, establish peace on the earth. But the world is limited in what it can do. It targets it, it preaches it, it strives for it, it works for it. But there is absolutely the absence of peace on the earth and goodwill toward men. And in reality, as the outside world looks at people like you and me, who would sing the Christmas hymns and who would sing forth about the peace on earth and the goodwill toward men, they would say we're out of place. They would say you have no perception of reality. And in their mind, you and I are hunkered down in these four walls. And outside, it's just quarrelsome, chaos, danger, the absence of the total opposite of what we would be singing or what we would be preaching at this time. And because of that, the devil has taken a tremendous opportunity in the hearts and the minds of the peoples of the earth. And really and truthfully, if you were to boil it down, they would simply have at this as their backdrop of their verbiage is that Christianity has failed. And they mock us for our belief, and they goad us in the circumstances of the earth, and they put to us questions. Where is the peace on the earth? Where is the goodwill toward men? They boil that down in their process to a statement that says something like this: I don't need a God that's not trustworthy. I don't need a God that can't do what he says. I don't need a weakness or ineptness Christianity like is being presented. Don't give me your religion. And you can understand how the world, which understand the peoples of the earth, which hear the message of Christmas time with peace on the earth and goodwill toward men, how they look at what's going on and how they're perplexed about that. And then how the devil would work in their thought process to bring them to the position where they would just deny the Lord Jesus and come to the position where they think that Christianity has failed. I want you to understand something. The whole summation of Christianity is Christ himself, and he is no failure. I would put it this way. The question is not, has Christianity failed? The question is, has it been tried? Where is the peace on the earth? Where is the goodwill? Fine. You can ask that question. But don't you dare stop there. If you're going to ask, where is the peace on the earth? And you're going to ask, where is the goodwill? Then I'm going to ask you, where is the glory to God in the highest? You see, we're so fixated to look at the angels' song and be open to the end and neglect the beginning. We've begun at the end and we've left out the beginning. We've taken one part of the angels' song and in essence, we've thrown away the other part. We've grabbed the second link of the chain, and we've not taken the first link. We want the peace on the earth and the goodwill toward men. All of us desire that. But they have neglected the beginning of that statement, which is glory to God in the highest. I submit to you that the peoples of the earth are to give the God of the highest the glory deserving his name. We've got the proverbial cart before the horse. And this has caused a delusion in humanity. It's been perplexing, frustrating, angry to humanity. And as they try to wrap, the peoples of the earth try to wrap their mind around the actions of peoples on the earth. How do you explain what happened in New York? How do you explain the murders that are in our streets? How do you explain the warfare of the world? How do you explain the very fact that we're afraid to go out at night? We lock our doors, we carry weapons, we do everything that we can, because if there's anything absent on the earth, it's peace and goodwill toward men. Doesn't take a rocket science to do this. We have overlooked the phrase, which is casual and causative, glory to God in the highest. If I could put it in a way that may help you,
We have been expecting man to be right with man before man was right with God.
I got to say that again because it was brilliant.
We are expecting man to be right with man before he is right with God. So let's go all the way back into the book of Genesis and let's take two men. One man's name was Abel. Another man's name was brothers. One right with God, one not right with God. The one not right with God had the absence of peace and goodwill and did what to his brother? Murdered him. So perplexing is the expectation that man is right with man before man is right with God. Now it's very easy for us to desire being right with man. Very difficult for us to be right with God, because if I'm going to be right with God, I've got to humble myself. And if there's anything that the peoples of the earth don't want to do, is we don't want to humble ourselves. Just because you put your blinker on doesn't mean I'm letting you over. Can I get an amen there? Church family, peace nowhere in the Bible or on the earth has ever had an independent birth of itself. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that peace doesn't just happen. When you study the Word of God, and when you study even the things in the arts upon the earth and humanity upon the earth, you understand that peace is the fruit of certain relations. Peace is that which is that comes off of a causative something. Something has to happen for there to be peace. Peace does not just afford itself independent of some causative relation. Pastor, those are big words. Help me to digest that. Let me let the Bible do that for you. Watch this. The Bible says, thou, speaking of God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if my mind is not stayed on God, there will be the absence of class, perfect peace. Great peace, said the psalmist, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if I do not love the law of God or the word of God, then I'm going to be absent the great peace in my soul. And if I'm absent the great peace, then there will be the surety of offense or discouragement. See, great peace is experimented off of the relationship of loving the word of God. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let me give you one very familiar. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart, and it'll guard your mind. We love that verse. But that doesn't just happen. Read the verse before it. The verse before it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. So the peace of God that guards my heart comes off of the platform of my prayer and my supplication and my submission to the Lord. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you can't grab the back end of the angel's song and expect it to work without the first part of the work. Peace doesn't just happen. It is the fruit of a relationship of things coming together. By the way, that's why we even have Christmas, is because God had to become a man. God had to live a sinless life as a man. He had to go to the cross and pay for our debt. He had to shed his blood. He had to be buried. He had to rise again. All of that so you and I could have peace with God. We don't just have peace with God. So when you ask the question, where is the peace on the earth? When you ask the question, where is the goodwill toward men? You must first ask the question, where is the glory to God? See, man has tried all kinds of formal and nominal and literal and types of ways to establish that peace, but really there's only one way. Pastor, there will never be, in my estimation, peace on the earth. Yes, there will. There is coming a day when there will be peace on this earth, right here, right now, when the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning. So the first time Jesus came to humanity, the announcement was made, glory to God in the highest, peace on the earth, goodwill toward men. The Bible says, and Isaiah said, we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. We despised him. We rejected him. So there was the peoples of the earth who said, we will not give you glory, God. We will not humble ourselves. We have no king but Caesar. We do not need you for peace and for goodwill. And there was the rejection of that, of God do his glory. Even Jesus said, a prophet is without honor, save in his own country. And so as the peoples of the earth rejected the Lord Jesus, they rejected the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. Therefore, there's no peace on the earth and no goodwill toward men. But there's coming a day, my brethren, when all of his enemies will be put under his footstool. And there's coming a day when Jesus will rule and reign on this earth and the earth will know peace. We're going to be there. So say amen. So I need you to know that when you're confronted in society with what is going on in the earth, and don't give me that Christianity stuff. Christianity hasn't failed the world. The world hasn't tried Christianity. Because to whom all glory is due is God. And if I'm going to give God glory, I can't glorify myself. And the world has tried in mass. They've tried through the governments. They've tried through leagues. They've tried through United Nations. They've tried through all these treaties. They've tried to somehow bring peace on the earth and goodwill to men. But they lack one thing. They lack the power to change a man's heart. You see, there's only one vital relationship that must be met for peace to be on the earth. And that is that man must be in a right relationship with God first. If the peoples of the earth are not in a right relationship with God first, then there will be no peace and there will be no goodwill. Pastor, I hear what you're saying. That's why we're voting for so-and-so. Vote for whoever you want. And I think you ought to vote with wisdom. But if you think one man who's not the God man or one woman is going to bring peace on the earth, you've got another thing coming. So one of the things I have to do as a pastor is when you preach a message with the peoples of the earth, I got to bring it down to the people that I'm preaching to. So it works in your personal life, and it must begin with you. The only relationship that establishes man right with God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by who, class? By me. What the Lord Jesus is desiring is first off to be our Lord and Savior as we submit our lives to him in full surrender,
to his governance of our will, the power of his saving grace, and then to use that new life to serve him, to worship him, to adore him. So there's two types of peace in the Bible, right? There's peace with God, and there's the peace of God. And I've got two types of people in front of me. I have those of you that have peace with God, and I have those of you that do not have peace with God. Those that have peace with God, we have already given God glory in the highest, as far as we have acknowledged his Son, we have acknowledged ourselves as sinners, we have confessed ourselves a sinner, we have believed upon the Lord Jesus, we've received his offering for the cleansing of our sin, and we have asked him to be our Lord and Savior, and we've been born again. If that's you, would you say amen? Now, I know that one day by faith, there's going to be peace on the earth, on all of the peoples of the earth. But I'm telling you right now, I know not only by faith, but by experience, that Jesus Christ has the ability to bring peace to the human heart. And he has the ability to establish that wonderful joy of living and that wonderful joy of salvation. And then I have Christian people, right? Christian people that lack the peace of God. And they're frustrated with God. They're mad at God. Especially are they mad at God right now during Christmas time. They think somehow they've been mistreated. They think somehow that something else should have happened. They think somehow that their plight ought to be different. And in their spirit, in their soul, they're agitated. They're at unrest. And there's the absence of that peace. And they're really frustrated when there's the absence of goodwill toward them or blessing upon them or some extension of the favor of God or some meeting of a need. And they get frustrated. But listen, even Christian people have to do it in the right order. My friend, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that the peace of God is on you. It doesn't mean that it just happens. Peace with God does because of Jesus. But the peace of God is relational, which means that even as a believer, glory to God in the highest has to come first in my life, which means there has to be the submission of my will. There has to be the humbleness of my heart. There has to be the obedience in my nature, in my mind, and in my hands. The same way that the peoples of the earth sometimes want peace and goodwill without humbling themselves to the Savior of the peoples of the earth, even Christian people want to grab the chain by the end and forget the first part. They want to take that part which is blessing to them and neglect the first part. And the angel's promise was, there will be peace on the earth and there will be goodwill toward men. But it comes at the backdrop of giving God glory in the highest. Tell me you understand that by saying amen. You're not going to know it any other way. And so when the world mocks us and they say, well, hate is strong, and they say that Christianity is inept or that Christianity is defeated and Christianity really and truthfully has made no impact in the earth, I would submit to you that that's because the peoples of the earth as a whole have not submitted themselves to the glory of God. One day, that's going to happen. But you as an individual can do it right now. Don't get so caught up on the masses that you forget about yourself. And the humbleness of me to the Lord Jesus, who is the most vital relationship needed for peace, is something you and I can receive today. And we need to receive that today. As a Christian, here's my problem with my Christian people right now. God help me here. Don't let me be wrong as far as not complete. You leave. leave here and you go home and you're miserable. You're sitting in your house and you're mad and you're agitated at your life. You're mad and agitated at what you do have or don't have. You're mad and you're agitated in your spirit. And you're frustrated. You're not able to enjoy the season. You're looking and there's just this lack of peace. And when you look at how you think you're relating to people and how people are relating to you, you see the absence of goodwill. And you think, God's mistreating me. God has never mistreated anybody in his whole eternity. There's nothing wrong with God. There can only be something wrong with me. And so I can't grab the second part of that chain and expect. There has to be in my life glory to God. And glory to God is not you waving your hand and singing and trying to work something up. Glory to God in the highest is me humbling myself, surrendering myself, and obeying what God has for me to do. That and then is when the peace of God is afforded and the goodwill comes. And I promise you, our God is no liar. The angel song is beautiful. It is biblical. It is precious. It is real, and it can be real in your life. Shall we pray?